back to Ruthless Aggression. Pierce, Rob, and Chris. The Netflix change is trying to fuck us. So it's going to be a little bit of a different show than you're used to. We'll explain that in just a bit. Interesting new era we are embarking on in professional wrestling. Like I said, Netflix now has Monday Night Raw. The first time Raw has not been on linear television ever. It's a weird change. It's not as weird as the Spike TV era. Let me just get that off the bat. That was pretty weird. But it's the growth of where we are now in society that Netflix is going to be airing a live program, weekly, episodic, whatever you want to call it. They still got USA or still got SmackDown on USA, so that's not changing. But we got a massively big show coming up. Essentially tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday, we will be back to recap everything that popped off. And they put together, I don't want to say a WrestleMania level card, but a pay-per-view level card for this show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they loaded it up. And I mean, you know, they kind of did when they went back to USA Network too with the Raw Homecoming, you know, in 2005. Mm-hmm. But this is even different than that. Like, you got all four of these matches have like giant WrestleMania implications. We're might be in for a title change, and yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a huge show.
Yeah, and like, you know, sometimes you think to yourself, and I went through this, and Rob could tell you, I didn't know what exactly to expect for this show because it's like everyone was saying it was going to be a big deal, but it's like, all right, I understand that, but when people were saying that, we were looking at it and it was like Survivor Series and then Saturday Night's Main Event and then this. And then SmackDown was also going to be supersized. And mm-hmm. then also the Rumble was coming up and another Saturday Night's Main Event. And most of all, WrestleMania is in April. How big could it be?
Yeah.
Turns out pretty fucking big. All things considered, for a big show on the way to the Rumble, this is about as good as you can get, for especially for just basically one brand. Because there's nothing, I mean, Roman and Solo are going from SmackDown to Raw. I don't know if that's holding. We'll see what happens with the transfer stuff.
And yeah.
Personally, I think it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to even matter.
Honestly, I think it's not going to matter until after Mania anyway.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, I think they're going disillusioned anyway to Mania because they always do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they're going on the tour to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be having people rotate in that motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a set group.
There's going to be every match of that show is going to be meticulously planned. It's probably already planned out.
Yeah. Yes.
I 1,000% agree. Like, they are getting ready to head into a period where they are nonstop. You mentioned Saturday Night's Main Event the week before a Royal Rumble, which I somewhat makes sense because I think you're going to get the guys who will need to either blow off their feuds before the Rumble or enhance their feuds for the Rumble, since they won't be having straight up matches in that Rumble, ladies too. You know, Elimination Chamber is going to be a month after that, and then the tour, like, they are going to be jet setting through WrestleMania, and they haven't even announced where the post WrestleMania shows are going to be outside of SummerSlam. So, they might have to go overseas for. I feel like they have to go overseas for another Backlash. The success of the last two.
I think Ireland might be in line for a show this year. Maybe
speaking of like other places possibly getting shows, do you guys buy this? I mean, the Royal Rumble in Saudi, it would suck. Trust me, it would suck. But I feel like that's the most that you could do. I feel like people are going full doom with they're going to get a WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see it.
I don't either. I think that is like, sure, don't rule anything out or whatever the hell.
Never say never. I get
blah,
it.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't think that I understand that a gigantic sum of money can offset a lot, but like Mania gets them so much fucking money.
Yeah, and I think,
it's so much fucking money.
It's the whole week, and, like, a lot of people like,
I'm sorry, it's just
so, someone from the UK is much more likely to fly here than probably to Saudi Arabia too. So you're kind of losing out on that international aspect of it.
Do that anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. You're blocking out everything then. And then, honestly, I mean, I don't want to say that anyone would do that because I don't think that I think the wrestling climate in this country, if you're not WWE, is clearly depreciating like a mother. Like, they then that leaves that weekend up for anybody to in America. You're encroaching on some dangerous territory there, I think, if you do that. The Rumble, whatever.
I think that Rumble there, though, might be two nights. Because that seems like the logical next step if they're doing SummerSlam two nights already, and the Rumble really lends itself to that. You might as well, and you know, you can make it a big deal there too, like the first two night Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and it's a place that you know both nights are gonna be. It's not even like something in a fucking stadium. It's gonna be in like a 20,000 at max seat arena, like they've been doing recently. They stopped doing the big stadium shows in Saudi.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
And I mean, like, as far as the relationship in general, I mean, it's been 8 years, but like, it sucks, obviously. Yeah. Like, it sucks the World Cup's going there. It sucks that they're involved in Formula One in the Premier League, but like, they are. It kind of is what it is. That's sports.
Yeah. Let's talk about this card. John Cena's back. This is going to be John Cena's purported final year in the WWE. What are you most excited for or most looking forward to in this final year, Cena?
You know, it's weird because he's kind of been gone for the past like 7 years, so his final year to me was more like the US title thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's gonna depend, because like the past few times he's come in, he's clearly just been like actor stopping through. This year he seems like he's gonna focus on this full time, so like he might get back to having better matches and stuff. I don't really want to see another Punk match. I think they should do one more Randy match. I think that's more likely and will be better than a Punk match. And if he is wrestling Cody at WrestleMania, I think that's a really good story too. And it's obviously a main event caliber match. You know, you got this story there with Cena, and Cody's the guy now. So, yeah, I mean, that's something I'd be excited for. And, you know, everyone's looking forward to maybe a Gunther match. And, yeah, I could see that one too. Yeah, just not as in on a Punk match at the moment as everyone else seems to be. But that could change.
Maybe you need to watch Punk last. The
next couple times out.
That's your, you know, to send him off. Because I don't think you want his send-off to be against Orton. Because you do run the risk of that being a stinker. Let's be quite honest and clear about that. Cope is not there anymore.
Gonna crown a guy.
Cope isn't there anymore, so it's not like you can do that match. So the one last true rival, unless you're just gonna let Rock put him out of his misery, which by all means, if you could make it happen. but I feel like it should be against a rival of his that, you know, can still measure up in that same way, that you know is going to deliver and elevate the match to that, you know, worthy final match. It would have to be CM Punk, or unless you're going to do Roman and, I don't know, kind of make a spectacle of it some way. You know, that seems more appropriate for me.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I also think he might wrestle on Raw in a couple weeks when they go up against the college football playoff final and the inauguration stuff.
Ooh, that's a wild, wild day. Also, like, could they have asked for better timing with this rollout of the Netflix show? It's every advertisement.
It's been awesome.
No, it's been awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they've done a great job with the advertising. I just think they were dealt a really bad hand with the day, because all of the advertisement is so cool, but it wants you to get ready for January 6th. And every time
that is very fun.
It's very like.
It's very fun.
I didn't even know this was on the card. Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso. I mean, obviously, Drew's going to murder Jey at the end of the day. Jey is your sympathetic baby face that doesn't eat the wins at this point. But I want to question where you see those two going. Because, like, I feel like with Jay, for me, I've kind of done the 180. I'm like, okay, I could see him at some point, and I don't know when that point is. He proved it with the IC title win and getting the pop he did. I can see him getting a title run or two. Not run, necessarily, but, like, winning it. And with Drew, with Drew, it's very much they're trying to make him the best heel in the company, but he's still doing the one, two, three. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, I want to see where you guys see those two going in 2025.
So I think that what happened on SmackDown is an indication of things to come. You'll note if you watch the show, if you didn't, at the beginning, Cody Rhodes came out, Drew McIntyre came out to confront him. He hugged him and he told him he was making a mistake. And he told him he needed to watch his back. And that ended up involving Kevin Owens, you know, attacking him from behind. And then later on, the Usos bumped into Kevin Owens, who told them to watch his back. I think Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre are going to be collaborating here. And if I may make one bold, very bold prediction going into Mania, kind of ties into everything, how I see the main event picture and everything else. I think Cena's wrestling Cody. I think Roman's wrestling Punk. So then you have to wonder what Gunther's doing. I think Gunther's going to wrestle Seth. And Seth is a wild card here who I think could join Drew and KO to make some mega alliance on the other show to attack Roman. Mm. The alliance to take down Roman Mania or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and you have plenty of big shows too where you could run that as a six-man match.
You have so many shows where you can have
the Elimination Chamber.
The Elimination Chamber, exactly. You have so many opportunities to do that. So I think Drew is going to wrestle Roman on the way to Mania. What he does in Mania, I don't know, but it's got to be something big. Because this dude is being pushed so hard. Jay, that tease last week in Houston with him and the New Day, I wonder if we're going to get a new version of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. I know Jay is an uber popular singles babyface. I understand that. I think he's above the Intercontinental title.
Yeah,
that's very clear to me. So you can't put him back in the IC title division.
I will say my exception to that would be if he were able to win the Intercontinental Championship within some point between now and your theoretical championship when he's ready to elevate to being the champion.
I think
you can set up a match that ends up leading to Jay dropping the Intercontinental Championship in some way, shape, or fashion to Xavier Woods. And then, you know, whatever comes out of that, whether that's a Scorn Jay or, you know, your Drew Seth and KO, they end up costing the title. Then that's the proper way, I think. I think he can have another IC. I'm totally fine with a second IC title. This would be second, right? Or third. I can't remember how many times he won the fucking title.
It'd be a second run.
I'll be fine with that. I don't think just the one is now like, okay, but I think he's going there. I think it's very clear when he comes out every week, the fact that War Games happened, and it wasn't Roman coming out last to the crowd. It was Jay. With all respect to Roman, they chose Jay because they knew how that crowd was going to pop. That to me spells that Jay is going to elevate. I just, you know, he can do another IC title run. I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, that's kind of where I think Drew is going. I think it's like the hints, them saying the same thing and Kevin Owens kind of smirking when he said to watch his back. It's like, something's happening there for sure. You wonder, okay, so Randy factors in then, okay, so who's Randy going to team up with? Because Cody's not going to be around to team up with him. So who's going to team up with Randy to go up against, you know, you figure the team of a team of KO and Drew.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'll be,
Well, I guess there is one person who would make sense if they wanted to do it. Although you probably have to give him a lot of money. Austin.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy, but I mean, hey, if anyone's going to post Kevin Owens right now and set him straight,
yeah,
who's the guy to do it? If it's not, especially if it's not going to be Sam.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nothing's out of the realm of possibility anymore. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean,
all right,
it is tough though because like you know they're positioning Drew to go after the Bloodline. I think
they are
probably
sure.
Do yeah, Drew Roman maybe at SummerSlam or whatever. That's probably the end game for him. And then yeah, for Jay, I mean, listen, his entrance on Monday was crazy because the crowd went insane for them, like even more than usual. And it wasn't like a particularly hot town or whatever.
No, they got 15,000 in fucking Houston.
Oh, they were in Houston. Yeah, Houston is a pretty good town. And aren't they from there? Or
no, they're from
they're from California. Bay Area. They train there with Booker T. Yeah.
No, but like the post to SmackDown. When you know they pulled Vanessa Hudgens in the ring, they all did the eat. Like that man is so fucking over. It's
crazy. Never saw that happening. So he could win the title on Raw at some point. Maybe
Sounds like a Raw title win. That sounds like a Raw on Netflix title win.
Yeah, no shame I think too, babyface Usos against heel New Day is cool.
Yeah,
they should do that at some point.
Yes. It's a fresh take on it.
It is a very fresh take. We're getting.
Also, I just want to say, I thought, in theory, you hear to yourselves, New Day turned heel on Big E. Why does that need to happen? I think they're doing a good job solely on character work right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helping them along with this. There was a specific way that they had to pull this off and they've pulled it off well so far, I think.
Yeah.
They have, we got multiple other matches on the card.
Yes.
Let's start.
They pushed the IC title, women's IC title final to the ensuing week because they felt they were doing too much. I think that that's a good move. Especially because the US title got Saturday night's main event and is probably getting in another Saturday night's main event match later this month in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So good call on their behalf to have some restraint there. Don't get it lost in the shop.
Start with Tribal Combat. Roman versus Solo. I mean, it's a way for Roman to get on the show. That's to me what it is. You can't really excite me for this match beyond getting to see Roman.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, you know, very theatric and it'll be fine. Like, Solo's been actually pretty good lately. Roman, you know, he knows it's a big moment. I think he's going to win. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't. It's pretty clear that I think Solo's just kind of a step along the way to Jacob now.
See, I think Roman is going to win. What you're saying is interesting. I read somebody, they pointed out the thing, but I just want to float this thought. I don't think they're going to do it. But Solo wants Heyman to hold the Ulafale, the leg. They wouldn't dare do something like SummerSlam 96 with Paul Bearer or Mankind and The Undertaker, right?
No, because
right?
Heyman can't turn on Roman because he's so pivotal to the Punk.
But here's the thing. Yeah, he is. I agree. He is. He is. Where's Roman? I know he's not there, but like he didn't take a beating at Survivor Series. He just spent the last month. His friends have all gotten their asses
whooped.
I get it, but like,
I think it's just kind of built in now that he's not always around, and just everyone understands that.
No, but I mean, I'm talking strictly in the form of the show.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like they're all saying that he's bad, and the Usos and Sammy are denying that. Yet they're all the ones they're the ones getting their asses whooped, and Roman isn't around.
Yeah,
that's my thing. So it's just I get it. But it's feeding into that. That being said, Solo's going to lose this match. Roman's going to win. I think this is a, mind you, Solo pinned Roman at Bad Blood. Roman pinned Solo at War Games. So this is a neat way to tidy up a best of three, so to speak, where one guy pins one guy, the other guy pins it, blah, blah, blah. Mind you, this how this whole thing started, because Solo told Heyman that losses have consequences. So if losses have consequences, what's going to happen when Solo has to recognize Roman as his tribal chief?
Yeah.
He's going to get killed.
Yeah.
Jacob and the Dominants are going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. I don't know where he factors in. I think he's done a great job. I think he's shown a lot of range. I think he definitely, at first it was a little bit rocky, but sometime after SummerSlam, I think the pressure got taken off of him since Roman came back, ironically. And he's just been able to settle in. He's done a great job. But yeah, he's in line to just get destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
He can get destroyed.
Yeah, I like it because it's connectivity. His own words are going to come back to bite him. That's good stuff.
We also got a women's world championship match, which originally was going to be last woman standing, and then they realized they were doing too much.
Yeah, either that or someone heard something wrong, or I don't know, but maybe they did realize they were doing a little too much and want to just do a regular match, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, there's enough going on in the show.
There's enough going on in the show, and also, I think we can unanimously agree there is one result here that needs to happen.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time.
I think people
are getting ready for that WrestleMania match.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been way too hard on them.
By the way, quick question. Well, I guess let's kind of just tie this all around. See, so
okay,
you have this match coming up on Monday. For everybody that watched SmackDown or didn't watch SmackDown, flawless execution to me in the way that they were able to pull off the cash in at Tiffany Stratton, who is now your new women's world champion, to update you. So no doubt in the interim, we're going to be getting some Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. You could also factor Naomi and Bianca in there, and I guess Candice by proxy too. However, there is a looming ace in the hole whenever Hunter wants to pull her out, and that is the one and only Charlotte Flair. My question to you is, what is Charlotte Flair going to be doing at WrestleMania, and which championship is she challenging for?
I think she is going to challenge Tiff. I think that she's... Well, I shouldn't say she's going to make Tiff's dreams come true because she's probably going to win the title. but I think she's going to come back. I honestly, because this is kind of tying everything together, you know how I feel about the Rumble every year. To me, it's always about who gets the point of view. Right now, going into the shows, there's no one who's emerging yet, and it's already January.
Yep.
That tells me, if that doesn't tell me that they don't have that in mind, it just tells me that the winners are... When that happens, the winners are on the outside looking in right now. So I think Charlotte is going to come back in Indy and win the Rumble. I think Io is going to win the Chamber and challenge Rhea. That's where I think they're going. I think that tease that they did a few weeks ago where they were both holding the title was done on purpose. I think that's what's coming. Liv, I would... Rob, what do you think? Do you think they're going to finally pull the trigger on this Wyatt's and Judgment Day thing after they finally get to the final testament?
Yeah, I mean, it seems likely. And that would be interesting.
That would be really interesting because there's a lot of pieces.
Personalities in this group.
Yeah, there's so many personalities in the group that you could do stuff with there. So I think that's where I see everything right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sold on that. I was thinking maybe you do the... the Rhea Charlotte 3.
However. Yeah, you could do that, and I think you could also. I think if you're doing Rhea Io, and if you're having Liv drop the title to Rhea in LA, I think that Becky and Rhea have earned another crack at it after both, after Becky was 100% and maybe neither was Rhea in Philadelphia. I think at some point you can run that rematch, because Becky's going to lose it, but at some point you can run that rematch, I think, on the way.
No, it's crazy.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Totally forgot about Seth's wife. She's chilling, being a footnote in that rivalry. Meanwhile, like, you know, she's probably going to pop up and be ready for WrestleMania season. There is so much within the women's division that I don't know where everyone fits. You know, I don't know where Bianca's going to be, and if Jade's going to be healthy, is that your WrestleMania match?
I don't know where Bayley's going.
I don't know where Naomi's going.
Naomi has had, I will give her credit. At the end of the day, I did not really care for Nia's title reign, but her matches with Naomi were all really good.
Yeah.
Naomi had a really, really good 2024. Anyone who's caught up in anything about her, she also finished with a winning record. So you can't even say she lost a lot.
Yeah.
She had a fantastic year. That match on Friday was great. Mm-hmm. She's done a fantastic job this year elevating herself. So, and I think she's also somebody who, if she's not going to get the main title ever, and I think after losing multiple opportunities this year, maybe she won't. She has earned a U.S. title run.
Yeah. You're right, though. Naomi's going to factor in. Asuka's out there.
She's out.
She's coming back at some point, right?
Yeah.
The only women who I feel like are not in the main championship position right now that I know where they're going, it's Nia Jax and Candice, because I feel like at some point that's going to be a tag title contender.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And Chelsea Green, because Chelsea Green has a United States title.
Yes.
Beyond that, it's up in the air for me as far as women's division.
Yeah, I agree. Really fascinating, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to say like missing Mania isn't good or whatever or bad, but Liv wasn't on Mania. Look how her year went.
Right.
That's true.
Naya. Queen of the Wing, whatever you want to call it.
Yes. Yeah. Now there's just so much room for opportunity that it's like, if you're not there somewhere, you will be there somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I want to see. I want to see how everyone reacts to this, because it's a whole new thing, and it feels like we're going to reset the champions at the top of the year. When do we ever do that? That's what's also nice about all this. It feels like a natural reset point rather than just waiting until April to do it every year. Do it in January. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, your main event. We've been waiting for this match for, I think the last time we got it was 2013.
13, yep. Yeah.
And should have gotten in 2024, but circumstances, we will be getting it, not at WrestleMania, maybe at WrestleMania, but we're getting it now, tonight, whenever you listen to this. CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. I guess the only question here is, where do you see this going?
You know, first of all, I think the build has been tremendous. I actually think Seth's done a really good job. Mm-hmm. It's tough because this isn't going to be the last time that they wrestle. I don't think they're going to do it again at WrestleMania, but I think it's almost certain to main event one of the nights of SummerSlam. Yeah. So I think having Punk lose on his first match on Raw in, you know, 10 years would probably be a mistake, but also, like, we always do this with Seth. When's the last time he won a big match? And I don't think the Bronson rematch really counts.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Punk, though, I think. But
I'm going to go with Punk as well.
Yeah.
It's Raw. Just the feel. CM Punk. I feel like it would feed the narrative of Seth Rollins and that eventual turn if Punk gets that win. I think he has to get that win. More than Seth has to get that win. If we're talking about Seth and Gunther at WrestleMania, and I know Gunther's on a run, I feel like that's a worthy notch to have on your belt. Is a world title win over Gunther at a WrestleMania. If that's where you're going, I'm not the biggest fan of that, but if that's what you do, make a quality. Make it matter. I feel like one of the only guys who can eat a loss, or who Gunther could eat a loss to, would be Seth. So especially if it gets shenanigans.
Yep.
All right, we got to run through the month of November into Survivor Series.
We do. Pretty busy month. We'll just get all the music out of the way at once, just because the only two songs to reach number one were Whatever You Like by T.I. and Live Your Life by T.I. featuring Rihanna. So
the stranglehold T.I. had on America in 2008.
Yeah. Your top five movies overall for the entire month: Madagascar, Escape to Africa, Quantum of Solace, Twilight, Bolt, and Role Models.
Role Models.
Really?
Role Models is funny as hell. It's a movie I have not seen probably in 15 years, but it's a really funny movie.
It is.
Beyonce Bourne should go home on.
All right, do you have any of the sports yet, or do you want me to?
Yeah. November 2008, you had Texas Tech taking down Texas 39-33 in front of a record crowd. Michael Crabtree's big showing. You know the play. You know the call.
Yeah.
You know all that.
Who was the quarterback on that again?
Graham Harrell.
Yeah.
Throwback.
And also, Purdue beat Michigan 48-42, which meant that Michigan's 33-year consecutive bowl game appearance streak snapped, and also assured them they will have a losing season for the first time since 1967.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
it's not going great.
No, it's going to get worse, and then eventually it'll be okay again.
Again, this is the first weekend of November. The only teams that had an unbeaten record at that point were Bama, Penn State, Texas Tech, Utah, Boise State, and 16th-ranked Ball State of the MAC. Also, let's see if I can find any other notables from this month. Then I'm really seeing the NFL just besides scores. Phil Fulmer was forced to resign, effective upon the end of the season. Things were not going well in Tennessee. Also, in the world of basketball, the Denver Nuggets traded Allen Iverson to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for Chauncey Billups, Antonio McDice, and Cheek Samb.
This was the sign to me that it was over for AI.
Yes.
Yeah. Sad, and it was like a sad, demoralizing. Because someone who was always a fan of AI, and you know those fans of AI, you know, it's the same as the Vic fans. You love them for their play, but you love them more for what they represented. And it was just like, oh man, he's not going to take that well. He's not going to take playing in Detroit well at all. And that's going to be the end of it. And then it gave Chauncey a chance to be a Hall of Famer. Because it was able to establish the longevity of how good he was. He's not good as a head coach, though.
Yeah, is he still coaching them?
He is.
I
got into it with my dad the other day because I was like, why is he still the head coach? We ain't giving no teams. Like, because he's not a good head coach. He can't elevate young players. No disrespect. Like, anyway.
Lou Piniella and Joe Madden were named Managers of the Year.
How about that? The two most relevant Cubs head coaches of the last, I don't want to say 20 because that's disrespectful to Dusty, 16, 17 years.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
There was a time when I thought Lou was going to be able to do it. Thank God Joe Madden did. Just really, really, really very quick aside. Rob, how do you feel about Sammy coming back?
I love it. It's very long overdue. I think they're just doing it right now because it's convenient, because they don't care about actually putting a good team on the field, but whatever. It's kind of funny that Tom Ricketts, who had nothing to do with the situation, thought that he needed an apology, but whatever, he's back now. It's good. Hopefully they retire his number.
Find it very interesting that you got two teams in Chicago that are bringing back beloved superstars that, I mean, absolutely should be celebrated and should be honored in the ways that they are and will be in the coming years. But it's just funny to me that it's happening now. When you kind of got to curry some good favor. Who got to come back for the Bears? Cutler? Do we got to have Cutler revisionist history in order to move on? the last great Bear quarterback passing the torch to the next great Bear quarterback. Fuck. Oh, by the way, Jonathan Taze might come back.
Saw that.
Hell yeah, baby.
All right. Well, Mike Mussina retired.
And
Dustin Pedroia was named the AL MVP, and Pujols won the NL MVP. Ball State improved to 11-0. They beat Central Michigan and says they survived a scare in a snowy Mount Pleasant. So sounds like that was quite a scene. So Ball State is 11-0 at this point. Crazy. Let's see if I can continue moving on here. There's a lot going on. Wisconsin nearly lost to Cal Poly, 36-35.
Not great.
Jesus. Did not realize that nearly happened. Also, FSU lost the game, and then Bobby Bowden suspended five wide receivers for getting in a fracas with the student union. So that's crazy. Ohio State beat Michigan 42-10. I know that sounds foreign to you, Rob, but they used to actually beat them. Sure wish that would have happened. Whatever.
Sorry, dude.
You know, if I may break away for a minute.
Do your thing.
I feel like I knew, like, within three plays, I was like, oh, shit. Because Jeremiah Smith is just ridiculous. And really, like, we didn't get it done. But, like, I don't have a reason to really be, like, unhappy. We lost. Okay, but that's kind of part of the game. You know,
it's not a demoralizing. I mean, it's a demoralizing loss. But it's not like you had it and you gave it away. You got your teeth kicked in by, I guess,
exactly,
a team that should be a better
team. So it's like, okay, but I can't be a title bust guy for a program that's never won a title. So I can't drive myself that kind of nonsense. And there's no reason to jump off now. So it's like, it sucked, but I'm ready to move on. I feel like that happened. I mean, after the Yankees lost the World Series, it's like, okay, well, I'm used to it. Not a big deal.
Speaking of jumping off of wagons, speaking of jumping off of wagons, I texted my partner and I texted my brother after the Sugar Bowl, the John Wick. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. At least temporarily, because I can't see Penn State in a national championship.
Nope.
No.
I cannot. Absolutely. I can't want it. I can't. Anyway.
Are you done with
the Yeah, I mean, sports? Mostly, you know, Ball State did finish the regular season undefeated. They went 12-0. A lot of the NFL stuff, nothing really, like, jumped out too much.
Yeah.
That feels fair. We can move forward now.
All right. Let's get into November 2008. We just have a few big picture things from the Observer leading up to Survivor Series starting on November 3rd. In a move that caught virtually everyone by surprise, Ring of Honor owner Kerry Silkin fired Booker Gabe Sapolsky and replaced him with Adam Pearce, both of who work for WWE now in basically the same role. So look at that. And I think that was like the first time Ring of Honor ever changed their booker, and Adam Pearce kind of changed the whole product, and it kind of signaled the end of because Danielson's going to leave soon, and it's all going to get different. The latest Vince McMahon proclamation is that they no longer want the product called Sports Entertainment or the wrestlers called wrestlers, sports entertainers, or even superstars. They want them called entertainers. And the product is called Entertainment, not Sports Entertainment. I don't remember this.
I do.
I do. Fortunately. Absolutely do. And it was...
Sounds real dumb.
Yeah.
Evan Bourne's out of action for at least 4 months after dislocating his ankle and tearing the deltoid ligament in a match on ECW this week. First of a few injury issues for him. Not great. But he is still wrestling, so... Chris Jericho won the title back from Batista at Raw 800, which kind of begs the question, why did Batista need to beat him in the first place, considering what we're also going to talk about later in this show?
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick note on Raw 800. In many ways, the show came across as an audience of one show. Paul Heyman wrote about a few weeks ago, the writing team put the show on for, so things are starting to not go well as Vince is writing more and more just to please himself. And I think this is a big reason why people think that these eras are not very good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty obvious also. If you watch the freaking shows, like, my God.
No.
Even Survivor Series, you watch Survivor Series. My God.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it. Like, there's one match in particular where it's very clear it's not going to work out, and they still just go for it.
So clear.
They did a pilot for a Ric Flair family reality show focusing on himself, his son Reed, his daughter Ashley. This never happened, but would have been interesting. We got some releases as well. Super Crazy was not released. He quit, and he was upset with how they'd been using him, and there were promises that they made to him that they didn't follow through on, and John Laurinaitis told him that he should just felt lucky to be there. So, yeah, Super Crazy is gone finally. Pretty crazy that he was there that long anyway.
Yeah, seriously.
The office has apparently just about had it with certain wrestlers who continuously fail marijuana tests. So they're going to start cracking down on that more, which Dave doesn't agree with because it's safer than pills or heavy drinking.
Well, there you go, Dave.
Correct.
You're going to have a progressive opinion.
Sting did an interview this week and said that he was close to going to the WWF on 3 or 4 occasions, twice in the early 90s, once during the Monday Night Wars, and once in 2006. Would have been interesting.
A couple more times on that list.
Yeah.
Before it finally
happens. I feel like, personally speaking, the early 90s would have been more interesting than either of the other two options.
Because I feel like the character would have fit. The character who Sting was would have seamlessly gone into 90s WWE.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you would have replaced Hogan better than probably Brett did, or the Luger thing that they tried.
Absolutely. If Hogan transitioned out and Sting was the one that got to go on the big tour across America in the bus and suplex Yokozuna and possibly beat Yokozuna at SummerSlam, that he absolutely would have done that, and they would have made so much money. Like, I think people underestimate how much of a star Sting was for kids who loved early 90s WCW. My brother was one of them. You know, Ultra Sting Mark, the face paint and everything. The way Vince has accurately big Brett up as a superhero, I think you could say that more for Sting in a lot of parts of America.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He absolutely would have made a lot of money in the 90s.
All right, we got more releases. Paul London, Chuck Palumbo, neither have been used in quite some time, except Chuck Palumbo had that feud with his motorcycle and Michelle McCool and all that dumb shit a few months ago. Elijah Burke and Ken Doan as well, which they kind of just stopped using Elijah Burke. It was really weird because he wasn't like bad. Yeah. And I don't know. And, you know, the Kenny Dykstra was screwed, but he works there again now, so good for him.
He does.
Kenny Dykstra signing the other day.
Let's see what else we got. Mike Adamley was very upset when he got to television and told that plans had changed and this was going to be his last show. Which, I mean, I get being upset, but also, like, come on, man. Brock Lesnar defeated Randy Couture to become the first man to hold WWE and UFC heavyweight titles. It's also a pretty big deal at the time. Hulk Hogan sold all of his trademarks to Eric Bischoff, apparently, so Linda couldn't get a hold of them in a divorce settlement. TNA worked with some titans. Kyle Vandenbosch was there, Frank Wycheck, Rob Baronis, Cortland Finnegan, Keith Bullock, Lendale White, and Albert Hainsworth. And Javon Kurse.
The late, great Frank Wycheck. This is Javon Kurse.
He was there a bunch.
Oh, at TNA? Yeah, he was. I think he was.
Yeah.
I think he may have wrestled a
match. He's on one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did. He did a lot with him.
Yeah. Armando Estrada also got released and, you know, kind of didn't have anything to do for him anymore once they didn't want him to be a manager. And he's also back, so good for him. All right. Time for Survivor Series. From Boston, John Cena's back tonight.
He is. And he's going to be wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship, a title that has been bouncing around for God knows what reason.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's probably going to keep doing that based on what I remember.
We opened the show with an announcement that Jeff Hardy was found unconscious in the stairwell of his hotel this morning. And, you know, various media outlets have picked up on it, and he will not be in action tonight.
Yeah. Your thoughts on this?
I mean, I didn't know that it was an angle at first until I looked it up. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I don't know, for him in particular, I guess that's why it's so effective. Cause you know, you go to that other place when you hear that, but like, I don't know. They really, the way it plays out is stupid. So
yeah, the way that it does play out is very stupid, but yeah, this is an angle. It's going to turn into a whodunit. And it resolves itself in about 2 months.
Yeah.
So we begin with a traditional Survivor Series match between Shawn Michaels, Crime Time, The Great Khali, and Rey Mysterio against the team of JBL, MVP, The Miz, John Morrison, and Kane. It's a mishmash of guys from all three shows. You know, gets the job done. MVP got a quick elimination on JTG, celebrated, and turned right into a Khali chop. And this is a 4-on-4 now. This crowd is very hot for Great Khali for some odd reason.
They love him. He's a big baby face now.
He's a huge baby face now, guys. Ray jumped off of Khali's shoulders onto Kane to make it 4-3 good guys. Shane to the team Little Big in the mixed match challenge.
Hell yeah.
The Miz eliminated Chad. And we're back to 3-3. Michaels entered for the first time, finally. Ray got a hot tag, eliminated The Miz, down to 3-2. JBL tagged himself in. Morrison is up for the 619. Ray didn't see it and got beat up for a bit. Now the heels are cutting the ring off. JBL earns a "You Can't Wrestle" chant. Jesus Christ. Oh, how that?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Be fair.
Michaels and JBL fought on the outside. Shawn snuck back into the ring at 9. JBL got counted out. Morrison got super kicked, and that's that. Michaels, Ray, and Khali survived. It was fun.
Yeah, it was okay.
Did what I had to do.
Triple H said Jeff Hardy will be back, but tonight he's still in action against Vladimir Kozlov. And guess what? It's not going to go well. They do a Diva Survivor Series match, and Beth Phoenix is your sole survivor. So good for her.
Yeah. That's about all you can say for a 2008 Divas match at this point. It's getting there, but not there yet.
Matt Hardy said that Jeff was attacked from behind. Interesting.
Well, how does he know that?
Makes you think.
Anyone try to point that out? How does he know that? Why does he think that?
Yeah.
Why does he think that he was attacked from behind? Why is that relevant?
Yeah. Makes you think. The Undertaker and Big Show have a casket match to blow off their feud, which has gotten worse with each match, and it sure did. I mean, Taker did the leg drop through the table, which was cool, but other than that, just
they had no energy.
Yeah,
energy to this. Just
even and casket matches are hard in general because it's a big like fixed platform, but like even they didn't wrestle by it for a while, and like it was dead. And yeah, Undertaker won, so. They clearly don't know what he's doing at WrestleMania right now. So, thankfully, they stumble into something. Randy Orton rallying the troops. Cody does not want to listen to him. Then we go out for Team Orton, which is Randy, Cody, Regal, Shelton, and Mark Henry against Batista, or Team Batista, which is Batista, Punk, Kofi, Matt Hardy, and R-Truth. Punk and Regal start off, and Punk eliminates him 11 seconds in to make it 5-4. We get a nice back and forth between Shelton and Truth, and Shelton eliminates him to get it to 4-4. Randy eliminates Kofi, and they go up 4-3, and Punk is out next. Then Matt Hardy, Batista is down 4-1. He fights back, gets a spear on Mark Henry, a spinebuster and Batista bomb on Shelton. And he gets Cody up for the Batista bomb, but Randy tags him while he's up on his shoulders. Batista doesn't know. He goes to pin Cody. Randy slides in from behind. RKO. Randy and Cody survive.
Yeah, that was fun. I think it was a little better than the previous one. I think obviously a lot more interesting people, I think, helped.
Yeah. All right. Up next, Vladimir Kozlov against Triple H for the WWE Championship.
Oh, fucking boy. This is legitimately one of the worst wrestling matches I have ever watched, and one of the on a short list of the worst championship matches.
Yes,
it's just
bad.
Kozlov comes out and no one does anything. There's no noise, which isn't great. No. You know, Triple H did what he could here. I just. Triple H tried, but I think they got 15 minutes for some reason. No one cared. The crowd was chanting for TNA. They were chanting all sorts of stuff.
When the crowd is chanting for TNA, that's true go home heat. That's true go away. What that man to go away so bad.
I have to imagine Triple H was... Triple H had to be just fucking like furious about this. Listen, it just, and I'm just watching this and I'm like, okay, it's clear like Kozlov was in the Cyber Sunday voting. He got like 5%. It's clear no one likes him. Why are they still doing this? Why didn't they just do Triple H and Jeff? And it's like, oh, it was just Vince. Vince thought he could be the guy.
So I really do think constantly about the men Vince McMahon chose to put his stamp of approval behind. Just you see now, soulless motherfucker. You, I don't get you.
Yeah. So, you know, after like 15 minutes, Vicky finally comes out and she's like, "Oh, you know, I said it would be a triple threat, and everyone thinks it's gonna be Jeff Hardy, and it's Edge." Which,
come on now,
they're just so happy to see him. He's the fucking biggest baby face on the show, and But then before that all comes about, then Jeff just fucking comes out anyway. And if Jeff was there, why wasn't he just in the match? Because he comes out like 45 seconds later.
Because Vince wanted Kozlov. He was being a fucking
baby. I know, but they undid their entire story and the story that they told a minute earlier when Edge came out.
I know, but if it was an audience of one, then the person who wanted that to fucking happen. He was being a fucking petulant baby about it.
So Edge ended up winning. Edge is the champion.
And the Edge thing obviously was a fucking screw job to the fans.
Yes. Yes.
Who made you look?
Fuck you.
Yeah, so that's done. Kozlov, there's nothing left for him at this point.
But they're going to fucking try and just for the next however many months that we all had to suffer for on the forums while we were watching this shit. Thankfully, they pivoted off of that crap.
Yeah. That was rough. So then we
move on. It's bad. Trust me, it's bad until the chamber.
Yeah.
It's bad until the chamber.
We move on to the main event, John Cena against Chris Jericho for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, pretty obvious how this one's going to go. And they got the crowd back, obviously, just because it was Cena. It's not as good as their SummerSlam 2005 match, and it's really not as good as the matches Jericho had been having, but, you know, Cena was just first match back. I get it. You know, he won. They got what they needed to get. It was fine. It just, you know, watching this show after, it's unfortunate because that Triple H Kozlov match just takes you out.
Exactly. It does.
But yeah, that was Survivor Series and November.
Oh man. Better days are to no, they're not. They're just wrestling series kind of shit. Thank you guys for joining us. Enjoy the first Raw on Netflix, A New Era, and we barrel into this crazy stretch of wrestling that we're about to receive. I'm not going to drop the socials because honestly I can't remember them. If you have us on Blue Sky, just find us on Blue Sky because I'm weaning myself off of X. I think this is the month that you should probably start to wean yourself off of X. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Keep up with everything in the Barbershare. If you're a Bears fan, please stay tuned. It's going to be very interesting next month. Names are being dropped as we speak, and I am feeling a little bit PTSD-ish. So we'll see how it goes, you guys. But Saturday night at the house, we'll have everything you need, and we'll have all the speculation on the head coach and maybe GM search for the Bears. King's Landing, if you're a Falcons fan, you may need it, you may not need it. Or I mean, you probably won't need it. It's just depending on like how you need it. playoff or not. And then, yeah, man, subscribe to the Patreon. Keep supporting everything you do here at the Barber's Chair. Thank you guys so much for joining us. For Rob and Chris, I am Piers. We'll see you guys later.